Log Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm Diane Adams, your host, a servant of God. Always, it's an honor and it's a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the word of God together. God wants the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith, to fellowship one with another. That's the way he designed it, always an honor and a privilege. And I thank God and I thank each and every one of you that has taken time from your busy schedule to call this line where we together can do our best to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing. God has given us the opportunity to come and be one with another. Hallelujah, y'all. And I don't take it lightly. And it appears that you don't either. Because at Wednesday night at the 8 p.m. hour, the calls come in. And I thank everybody that's listening on the internet all around the world, Africa, China, hallelujah, y'all, Canada, people are calling in. And I thank you guys. I thank you. It's Wednesday night. It's our time that we have ordained to come together at this hour to go before God's throne of grace where mercy can be found. We are committed and we are submitting ourselves to this. And I thank God. Well, tonight our lesson is going to come from the book of Philippians. You know that the book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. We're going to be in the third chapter. We're going to expound on the 8th through the 14th verse. And when scriptures are given, like we have these scriptures that we're going to expound on. But it's always good to read the whole chapter for yourself so that you will have some knowledge of what these scriptures are talking about. You know, when we meet together for Bible study, we have we usually do it in an hour. We have song and we have prayer. So, you know, I don't know, it's about maybe 45 minutes of teaching. You can't get it all like that. Bible study is designed that you come to Bible study. The things that are expounded on, you either know them or you don't. And then you search to be able to know it for yourself. See, that's why 2 Timothy 2:15 says, you have to study to show your own self approved. A workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. But this is our Bible study time, and I pray that everyone is growing from the teaching and the fellowship that we have with one another. God is going to take you from glory to glory, and your knowledge is going to be strengthened. And that's what it's all about, because it's a growing process. It's a growing process. It's not a destination. It's a journey. And no, I believe that the word of God telling us we're going to be on this journey until we either die or Jesus come back with the rapture. There's always going to be more to learn, more revelation to be gained. Because on Wednesday night, I give information, but it's the Holy Ghost that give illumination and revelation of the word of God, which is the truth. So I thank God for this opportunity and this time we have. And again, I thank each and every one of you. At this time, I'm going to play a song. I want you to listen to this song because if you had a chance to read the scriptures, you know what it's kind of about. And listen to the song, and when we do the lesson, you're going to understand the tie-in. That was Let Go and Let God. You see, the title of our lesson tonight is, it's not about what you do. I'm going to say that again. It's not about what you do. It's all about what God, through his son Jesus, has done. We have to remember that. And realizing that, that, you know, what Jesus did should give us the rest and to be able to let go in the midst of our troubles. Because it's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that we are who we are. And at this time, I'm going to open the mic for Sister Pam. Your mic is open, and you could lead us to God's throne of grace and prayer.
Good evening, everybody. I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continuously to be in my mouth, giving praise, glory, and honor to you, Father God, for you is the head of my life. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, tonight for the gift of life. Thank you, Lord, for affording us this opportunity to come together for another Wednesday night Bible study. Father God, we thank you for our teacher, our sister in Christ, Minister Diane Adams. Lord, we pray that you continue allowing her to bring forth your word each and every Wednesday night, plain and simple. We thank you for our Bible study. Lord, we thank you for everybody that calls in on the telephone and the internet faithfully every Wednesday night. Lord, I ask that you help us to stay faithful in your word. And it's in Christ Jesus' name I give thanks and amen.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your faithfulness. You are really a part of kingdom building. And I thank you.
You're welcome, sister.
If anyone else would like to pray, you see, God has given us this where we can operate the way that we need to for the needs of the people. If someone else would like to pray, we are able to allow that to happen. And when a Bible study goes forth, if there's a question that you would like to ask, you know, you could just press the one button and I'll open your mic. If it's something you didn't understand, you can ask the question. And I'm not the smartest person, and I know I don't know everything, but there's someone on the line may be able to answer your question for you. It makes no sense to get off the line with questions and having an opportunity to ask and don't. So I just wanted to let y'all know that. And those that are listening on the internet, if you call the number, you could come into the studio and be live and can ask your questions as well. But I just want you guys to know that if anybody would like to pray or things like that, you could press the one button, and I will definitely open the mic for you. This is our Bible study. No big eyes, no little use. Members of the body of Christ coming together in fellowship to explore the word of God. Well, again, the title of our lesson is, it's not about what we do. We're going to see this so clearly in the message that Paul is going to give us tonight. But what Jesus has done, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And so many times we put our focus on ourselves. If I'm studying enough, the last time I sinned and so on and so on. But it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And I'm going to do a little background on righteousness. And I want to do it because Paul talks in the scriptures that we have about righteousness. I want you to know that one of the benefits of salvation is that you get restored. The benefit of salvation is that you be stored with the righteousness of God. See, we have to go back and remember when sin entered the world, it separated us from a righteous God. God is a righteous God, and sin made us unrighteous. So it separated us from God. We, in and of ourselves, couldn't ever be enough or do enough to achieve righteousness. You see, the righteousness of God means that God approval of or being considered right in his eyes. See, we had to be made righteous before we could be with a righteous God and part of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus bridged the gap. But I'm going to let you know tonight how he did it. You see, think of it in this fashion. When God sees you, my sisters and brothers, he approves you because you are a bearer of his righteousness, not yours, his. You are justified in his sight. It is a relief because it takes the burden off of us. Imagine the weight of trying to go through life wondering if you have done enough to earn God's approval. People beat themselves down all the time. The Bible says God has no more condemnation on us, but we condemn ourselves because of who we are. It's not about what we do, but what Christ has done. You see, God's righteousness is not earned, given through an exchange. So let me tell you, we are the righteousness of God. We've carried the righteousness of God. We are in the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of ourselves, which a lot of people think they're, you know, so righteous. But it happened through an exchange. And a change worked like this. Christ take on our sin. In fact, he became our sin. And in exchange, our sin for our sin, we received his righteousness. All right. We were separated from God. God always wanted to have fellowship with his people. He found a way to be able to make it happen through his son. He sent him because he so loved the world. And everyone who accepts Christ, as I started off, received the benefit of salvation, and you are restored with God's righteousness. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more about righteousness. First of all, I want you to know it's not earned. It's given. It's not about what you do, but it's all about what Jesus has done. You see, God's righteousness is not earned. It is given through exchange, and I told you that earlier. And then we could take the scripture that kind of backs it up, 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Come on, y'all. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God, God's righteousness. Another fact about it, it's not bought. It was paid for. You know, another wonderful aspect of God's righteousness is that it really doesn't cost you anything. But it costs Jesus everything. The fact is the price of our righteousness is so high that all the money in the world could never buy it. Come on, y'all. However, That's good news, because God doesn't ask us to buy something we can't afford. See, no one could be righteous enough to go before a righteous judge, before a righteous God. God knew this. That's why he sent his son. And if any man could be perfect or righteous enough, I want to tell you tonight that Jesus wouldn't have had to die. You see, it has already been paid for. So now what we have, now that we have been made righteous by his blood, we can be even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through him. Romans 5 and 9. And the final thing I want to tell you about that tonight, that is not temporal. It's not like the law, which was temporal. It's eternal. And with me saying that, because many times Christians struggle with sin, repentance, forgiveness, and God's righteousness. You know, I hear people often saying, I was saved, but I'm not saved anymore. Or they go out and do this sinful act that they think is unforgivable, and now they have lost their salvation. And then they repent, and they figure they got it right, and the next day they do something else, and then they done lost it again. But I want to let you know the righteousness of God is not temporal. It's eternal. It's eternal. You see, because God's declaration of righteousness over you is eternal. God is not an Indian giver. If God said it, it is done. And that's why Jesus, when he hung his head to the side and said that it was finished, everything that needed to be accomplished for us to receive the righteousness of God and receive eternal life if we accept him was done. People keep adding to it, keep subtracting from it, keep saying what they believe. Jesus paid the price. All to him we owe. It is finished. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, God extended his righteousness towards you, and you have received the gift of salvation, and nothing can separate you from the love of God, no heights, no depth, none of these things. God is constantly telling us. He told us there's no condemnation. And yet, people sometimes believe they're not good enough to be saved. And they, you know, that we got to realize that's a trick of the devil. He's going to always tell you you're not good enough. You know you didn't study the Bible. You didn't read your Sunday school lesson. You didn't pray three times a day. As if that's what's going to get you in or keep you out. It's not about what we do. It's all about what Jesus has done. And I thank God for Jesus. And that was just a little bit on righteousness. And we're going to go ahead and expound in the Word of God together. When God declared you righteous, he dismissed your original guilty verdict and made you not guilty. It's a beautiful thing. So if you look at the scripture, and I'm going to go with the 8th verse in the 3rd chapter of Philippians. It says, ye doubtless, Philippians, the 3rd chapter, the 8th verse, if someone's looking for it in a Bible. Ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Whenever you see that word dung in the Bible, it's talking about waste. It's talking about really animal waste, a manure. So he said, I count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having, not his fault, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain, hold on, it means, unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, this is Paul, y'all. I don't know how much you know about him or what you don't, so I'm going to tell you a little bit right now. You see, Paul is saying that he's willing to give up all things for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Like Paul said, that the knowledge of God is more important to him than anything else. You see, and this is what you got to realize. You see, Paul was very well known. He was respected and admired for his past achievements practicing the law of Judaism religion. You see, before Paul met Christ, his religion was Judaism, not Christianity. And he was good at it, y'all. He practiced it, and he practiced it well. What he had taken in his hand, he did it well. He didn't leave no wheels unturned. He did it in excellency. You see, that's to say that Paul had it going on. You know, he was known as a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as if to say he was a top dog. He was a model Pharisee. Now, you know, Pharisees, Sadducees in the Old Testament always was the ones trying to get under Jesus' skin, and they was the ones prompting for him to be killed. You see, they was the teachers of the law, and they had high admiration from the people because it appeared that they knew so much. Oh, but here come Jesus. And they didn't like it, and he was trying to find a way to get rid of him. But Paul was a model Pharisee. He was exceedingly zealous. But watch this. But it was not according to the knowledge of Christ. Because you got to remember, he was the one that persecuted the Christians for their beliefs in Christ. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If somebody, back then it was against the law to look at Jesus as more than a mere man. And you would be killed, prosecuted, jailed, whipped, and everything else. And Paul was the executioner. Come on, y'all. And I told you he did what he did. He did it well. He didn't leave no wheels unturned. It was a zeal he had for doing what he was doing, but it didn't line up with the word of God. For it's righteousness by the law, Paul was blameless because he did all that the law asked him to do. Now he's willing to suffer the loss of all these things and do count them waste and unprofitable that he may win Christ and be found in him, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by him. You see, Paul did all of that. And I know some of you may know and some of you may not, and I encourage you to go look. Paul was going to crucify some old saints. And the saints had begun to run away. You know, like when they had the draft in the United States and Muhammad Ali didn't want to be drafted in the army or the whatever, the armed forces. He went to Canada because the United States didn't have jurisdiction in Canada. Well, what was happening back then, the Christians that didn't want to be persecuted by Paul, they was getting out the territory that he could deal in. They wanted to get to another territory where he had no rights to come in and to do anything. So the people began to leave and scatter, and Paul didn't like it because he was serious. Paul went to the person in charge, the king, and told the king he wanted to go get them Christian people who have left and got out of his reach. Could he give him a decree and give him paperwork, almost like a warrant, to go to the towns he didn't have authority to be in, but that the king would give him authority? And Paul was going to get him by any means necessary. Oh, but on the road to Damascus, Jesus met him. And Jesus spoke to him. Say, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Paul said, I did you nothing. Jesus said, at least you do the one of mine you're doing to me. And Jesus and Paul came to agreement of the mind. And from that day forward, after Paul was in the presence of Jesus, he was never the same. He was never the same. And watch this. God know what everybody's abilities are. He know what you could do and what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, why you're going to do it, if you're going to do it. Now, Paul, if we believe that everything was designed before the foundation of the world, our expected and our intended end, God knew he was going to use Paul, but he also knew Paul would be the persecutors of the Christians. But the point I'm trying to say, God knew how serious Paul was about anything and everything he did. God said it would be nice, you know, I could use him on my side. See, God got to know what we're working with and what we willing to do and how we do with what's in our hands. Paul didn't treat what he was doing haphazardly. He was serious, he was dedicated, and he was doing what he believed, but it wasn't according to the knowledge of God. And Jesus sat down and had a little talk with him, and he began to understand, and he changed from Judaism, and he became a believer in Christ, our Lord and Savior. And just as he was zealous for the belief of Judaism, he was even more zealous in Christianity. Paul, you see, Paul had righteousness that he had obtained by following the law. But that righteousness didn't have that value. It couldn't save anybody. But he needed the righteousness of God. See, at that point, Paul did as Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You see, Paul is saying, once I met Jesus, he counted all of his past glories, fame, and accomplishments as lost, for he had found the real deal. You see, Paul was so big in what he did, you know, like in the United States, they have the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land. Well, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had courts, and their court was the Sanhedrin Council. Paul was just steps away from being posted in the Sanhedrin Council. But he let it all go when he met Jesus. And sometimes God is asking us, what are we willing to give up for Christ's sake? Paul is letting us know, y'all, just because we have accepted Christ as our Savior, and them scriptures that we had, say it up there, he talk about fellowship in his suffering. He letting us know that even though we love Christ, we will still experience suffering. Y'all don't know, but I guess I can tell you right now, because we still gonna talk about it. But in the end, Paul was martyred, killed for his beliefs in Jesus Christ. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't block him. They had to take his life, and they did. But he would say he was willing to suffer. Just as Christ has suffered, so shall we suffer as well. Why? So that we may know him. Now, Luke 14 and 27 said, whosoever do not bear his cross and come after him cannot be his disciples. See, by our experiencing growing through the same kind of suffering he went through, we gain intimate knowledge of what it took him to do what he did for us. You know how sometimes you could think about how they beat him all night long and put the thorns in his head and nails in his feet. You know, you call that the passion. Passion is Christ's suffering. You got to think about what he went through to get you what you got. And then when you really realize what he went through to get you what you got, then how do you treat him? It's not about what we do, y'all. It's all about what Christ did. And you see, God has to let us go through so we could know what he went through. And even though our tests, trials, and tribulation and suffering, I want to tell y'all this, that who think maybe, oh, it's so hard, you don't understand. Listen to this. We are having tests, trials, tribulation, and suffering. But I want you to know they're considerably toned down so that we can bear them. Think about that. It's almost as if we are given a little taste of walking in his shoes. We couldn't take the big pressure, y'all. And God wouldn't ask us to bear it. That's why he sent his son. While we are here, we being prepared, molded, shaped, and designed for our intended purpose. And that's why God orchestrates and allow our suffering. We need some pain for gain, y'all. But you know, they say no pain, no gain. There's a very good reason why we go through it. And it's not what we're going through, but many times it's just God bringing us to our next level. You see, even in our Christian life, we must experience some good times, bad times, and some ugliness to fully understand that God's grace is sufficient. I could ask you tonight, if it wasn't for bad times, how would you know good times? And if there was no evil in the world, how could you truly understand good? And if we look at our last scriptures, verse 12, not as though I have already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Paul said, look, and that's strange coming from him, because I know so many people haven't done not a dot of what Paul has done in his life for the kingdom building. And they really think, some of them, that they're perfect, and others think that they have apprehended. But Paul lets us know the real deal. He said, I'm not perfect, and I haven't apprehended. In verse 13, he said, brethren, I could not count myself to have apprehended. He said, I'll never say that, because he understood that it's not a destination, but it's a journey. And he talked about until the resurrection of the dead. He said, but I can't say I apprehended. He said, but this one thing I do, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. And the verse, our last verse said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. When Paul said he pressed towards the mark, it's like a race. He said he want to get to the finish line. Come on, y'all. He understood. He still had to keep it moving. He had to keep pressing towards the things of God. You see, just like Paul, none of us are perfect or have fully apprehended or fully understand all that there is to know about Christ. If anyone could think he has arrived, it would have been Paul. But he always kept in mind that he wasn't there yet. He wasn't there yet. You see, Romans 3:28 say, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. You see, Paul didn't want to rest on all that he had achieved, but always wanted more of Christ, realizing that he must continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How you like that? I'm talking about Paul. And Paul wrote this about himself to let us know. He didn't want to rest on all he had achieved, but he wanted more Christ. Remember, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Paul. This was a man who had numerous visions of the Lord. He had been caught up in heaven and had seen things that no other living person had ever seen. Paul, a bad boy, y'all. He had written some of the most profound theological statements ever penned. Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. But his attitude was, I need to keep moving. When he was facing execution, and he was able to ask for what he needed. Oh, I think he asked for a coat, but he asked for a book so he could keep reading and growing in the face of execution. You see, this world is designed with all kinds of things to make us discontented with ourselves. Every day I speak to several people, and there are problems on every side. We must realize that we are humans full of emotions, loaded with regret, feeling of unworthiness, present and past hurts, and feeling of overwhelmness. Then after that, there's financial problems, problems with our health, and debt is all around us. And it makes us sometimes just don't feel like getting out of bed. If we are not careful, we become consumed. And many people have become paralyzed in these emotions. It's the same Paul that told us in Philippians 1:6, being confident of the very thing, that he that has begun a work in you could perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul saying, don't give up. God is never going to walk away from you. He's your present help. Just keep on holding on and keep it moving. Press towards the mark. Keep running a race that is set before you. This lets us know that God is able to keep us in all areas of our lives. We have to live in this world. But once we accept Christ, we are no longer of this world. Life will deal us hands that we may want, we may not want, but we have to play the hand that we are given. And just keep it moving, y'all. Because it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And Jesus is faithful, and Jesus owns everything, and Jesus loves us. So that in itself should make us know it's going to be all right. Just because we love the Lord, we're going to have hardships. I'm going to give you this out of Ecclesiastic 9 and 11. Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. And this is what he said. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. So the fastest one always win the race is what he's saying. The battle to the strong, sometimes the strongest get overtaken. Neither yet bread to the wise, those that are wise and put it in our term, I have a lot of money and yet they behind the eight balls. Nor yet riches to men of understanding. Y'all know they got a bunch of educated fools. Nor yet favor to the men of skill. The ones with all the skills lose the battle sometimes too, y'all. Plenty of people out here like the football game. The Saints could play a team that's number one and win them. And then they could play a team that hasn't won a game all season and let that team win them. See, Solomon is talking. Men of skill. He said, you know, it always appear turn out the way it, you know, appear that way. But look what he say. But time and chance happens to all of them. What's Paul saying? Life happens. Life is just going to happen. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Sometimes it's your fault, sometimes it's not. The good suffer along with the bad. Life happens. But the word of God gives us strength to keep it moving. Forgetting what lies behind, he said. You can't go forward by looking back. You remember Lot's wife? You have to play when you have a part to play when you're keeping it moving. Let me tell you this. While you are in the midst of a storm and you are waiting for a breakthrough, I can guarantee you almost, I can tell you with such assurance that while you're going through, give praise, give God honor and glory for the breakthrough that you can't see. Remember, faith is something you can't see, but the evidence of things hoped for. So you're going through your storm. While you're going through, give God the praise, honor, and glory. And begin to thank him because you know help is on the way. Thank God for what he has already done and then trust him for what you need. Be patient and wait on him to move on your behalf. You got to remember his time is not our time, but he's an on-time God. And his will for our lives shall be done. You see, when things are not going the way you would like, hold on to the confession of your faith. And if God said it, you could believe it. Just keep moving. This may not be the easiest thing to do. But at the end, if you don't move today and you decide to move 10 days from now, the decision to move was still an answer. Come on, y'all. But we are emotional people. Remember, it's not about what we do, but all about what Jesus has done. God has promised that he'll never leave us or forsake us. And this should allow you to know that no matter what you may be going through, no matter what state you are in, God is right there with you. Nothing can take God by surprise. He makes no mistakes. The word of God lets us know beyond a reasonable doubt that nothing before the world began, nothing in this world we are living in, and through all eternity can happen unless God's will be done. Do you trust God? Do you trust God's will for your life? Do you trust him? So the song that I played earlier, glory, hallelujah, Let Go and Let God. Tonight I wanted to come and talk about, I didn't want to talk about, you know, have you read your Bible, and don't get it twisted. All of that is important because that's a part of your growth. That's a part of your sanctification. A part of the foundation we have to realize is not predicated on what we do. It's all predicated on what Jesus has done. And that's just a fact. With that being said, we can keep it moving. Because in good times, for me anyway, and I try so hard, and I go back. I've been dealing with overwhelmness for a couple of weeks now, but I kind of find the strength to not do everything that I need to do, but I have been able to do most of the things that I needed to do. It takes your strength. It takes your energy. You just want to lay down. I'm talking about me now, y'all. We have to keep it moving because in good times with God, it is well. And I've learned that in bad times with God, it is well. Because it's his will, design, and purpose for our lives. He making it up as he goes. God told the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament that no weapon that forms against us will prosper. And I want you to know it still stands today. And I could tell you this as well. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. You have to hold on and keep it moving. And most of all, remind yourself in time of desperation, in times of sorrow, in times of anger, in times of whatever. It's not about what you do. And start thinking about what Jesus has done. Look back over your life. See your testimony. It's doing right now. Woke you up this morning and have our eternal life waiting for us to bring us before the Father. It's not about us, y'all. It's all about Jesus. Everything we do that's good, it wasn't enough to save you. How much Bible you read, it never had the power to save you. They say if you give everything you own to the poor, it wouldn't be enough to save you. And that's the things we should do. We're not trying to get to be more righteousness because God's righteousness is complete and it's a done deal. What we are should be trying to do is to be more Christ-like and doing as Christ did. The righteousness is, our righteousness is full because God bestowed his righteousness. You ain't going to be more righteous. You could do some righteous things and become like Christ did and like Christ taught us to do. But it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And that's the lesson for tonight. And I welcome questions, comments, or concerns. Anybody have anything to say about Jesus? You could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. Glory, hallelujah, y'all. Anyone would like to pray before we have the benediction? Caller, your number is 504-231-9393. Your mic is open.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Diane, for the lesson on tonight. I did get on late, but I can pray before the benediction.
Sure.
Father God, it is in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, that it is indeed an honor and a privilege to come before the throne of grace on tonight. God, we thank you for Minister Diane and the lesson that was presented for tonight. I thank you for each and every person on the call. I know that the lesson blessed them and blessed us all, and we all got something from it. But God, I thank you that you will continue to keep her, to bless her, oh God, to talk with her, amen, talk to her, and let her know how she is supposed to continue to proceed as she's done over the years. So I ask you, God, for her health and strength. I ask you for everything that you're doing in her life. I thank you for her fortitude. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, amen, who keeps, comforts, and protects her. God, I thank you for this opportunity, for this platform to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one thing I want to say about Jesus is that he's everything to me. So, Father, I thank you that you loved us so much, that you sent your son to this planet, oh God, to redeem us unto yourself. Thank you for continued mercy and grace. And, Lord, as we leave the line on tonight, I pray that you will continue to talk to us, speak to us, amen, that we will ponder over what was given to us on tonight and take that word and hide it in our hearts so that we will not sin against you. So I thank you once more and again for each and every person on the line. I thank you for the presenter, oh God. I thank you for this platform. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Minister Parker. There's never too much prayer. We need prayer, y'all. And it's just about everything that's going on. There's nothing we could do about it. Only thing we got is that we able to pray to our God. It's the keys that unlock the doors. Prayer. Thank you, Minister Parker. Minister Mackey, your mic is open.
I wanted to sing a song.
Go ahead, darling.
Came to me while you were speaking. Thank you, Lord. I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God
makes the road.
Yes, he does.
And object of his care, he guides the eagle through the pathless air, and surely he will remember me, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. See, I know he cares for you and me. Oh, mountain bleak, or roan, or stormy sea. Though billows may roll, Jesus keeps our soul. Our heavenly Father, he watches over you and me. We trust in God. Yes, we do. No matter where we may be, oh, mountain bleak, sometimes we on a raging sea. Don't have to worry when billows roll. Jesus keeps our soul. Our heavenly Father watches over you and me.
Yes, he does.
Thank you so much, Minister Mackey, for that beautiful song. And we're going to go ahead and end our session for tonight. But I just want you to remember that it's not about us. It's not about what we do. It's not always about what we say and even how we act. It's not about us, but it's all about what Jesus has done. And we searched the scriptures tonight and saw that God extended his righteousness towards us once we accepted his son. And we have to keep that on focus. And we're not trying to be more righteous, but we're trying to be more Christ-like. God's righteousness is full and it was complete. And when we accepted Christ, he extended it on us. And it's true. It's going to be all the way through eternity. It's not about us, y'all. It's all about what Jesus has done. And at this time, Sister Pam, your mic is open. You could do the benediction and we'll adjourn tonight.
Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. See you next Wednesday. If it's God's will and your desire, it's my prayer that God bless each and every one of us real good. Go in peace and let the love of God be with you. Good night.
Good night.